call this meeting of the Alaska State Legislative Council to order. It is 7:30 in the morning on July 31st, 2013. Chairing from the Anchorage LIO, Room 210, and we have a number of legislators participating via teleconference, so we will do the one vote that we need to take today via roll call. First, quorum count, Ms. Lucky.
Speaker Chenault?
Present.
Representative Gruenberg? Representative Johnson?
Here.
Representative Pruitt? Representative Stoltz? Representative Wilson?
Here.
Senator Huggins? Senator Coghill?
Here.
Senator Egan? Senator McGuire? Senator Meyer?
Here.
Senator Stevens? Representative Osterman?
Here.
Senator Hoffman?
Here.
Vice Chair Michiki?
Here.
Representative Hawker?
Present.
We have 9 members present.
Okay, we do have a quorum to conduct business, and with 9 members and the with sufficient members, Rep. Osterman will not be required to vote in order to make our quorum, but we're very happy to have him here at this meeting. What we have before us... All good. One change order to a contract requested by the legislative auditor, and if we could get a brief presentation of that. I guess you're going to do it.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And again, please put your name on the record as always. And
of course. Laura Pierre, staff to Senator Fairclough and the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Before you is change order number 3 for our legislative audit remodel project in the state office building. I'll briefly go through the cost summary. The first item is for dimming controls. This is to automatically adjust the level of natural light, $2,900 for that. The next item is for electrical engineering costs. This was pending the final design layout. That since has come in, and there are additional costs in the amount of $33,558. And the last item is for additional air monitoring for the asbestos removal of the space that came in higher than anticipated for $45,738. And then there is the 2% additional charge that DGS charges administrative fee for. That's for $1,644 for the amount of $83,856.
And for our recording secretary's reference, DGS is the Division of General Services. Do we have any questions or concerns? We do have folks online to answer questions from the State Leasing Facilities Manager, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. Do we have any committee questions for those folks?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Chenault, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, just one question. On the number of hours of monitoring necessary for the asbestos abatement, was underestimated. Underestimated by whom? Do we know? And, I mean, did we not have a certified contractor come in here and bid on this project? And you know, $45,000 seems fairly steep for monitoring something that should have been monitored anyway.
Through the chair, this is Tansy Mintz, the State Leasing Facilities Manager. I will let Wayne Jensen, the principal at Jensen Renewable Lot, who is providing that services through his subcontractor, address that question.
So, Mr. Jensen, if you could put yourself on the record and respond to Representative Chenault's question.
Yes, this is Wayne Jensen with Jensen Yorba Lot Architects. When the estimate was included for monitoring the construction, the estimate by Carson Dorn Incorporated was for a certain number of weeks that was intended when the contractor started work, their work took a lot longer, and the work that Carson Dorn needed to do to monitor the air increased in time, and so that's what the extra amount is for, consultant, not the general contractor's cost. The general contractor schedule took longer or was longer than what was originally estimated by the monitoring agency, and so this is that time.
Follow-up, Representative Chenault.
And thanks for the information, but Mr. Chairman, should that money not have been back charged to the general contractor for the delay of the project, or was there any stipulations in the contract on him being able to finish the job on time to allow the subcontractors to finish their work on time without it all being back charged to the state?
Nancy?
Through the chair, the project had some unforeseen delays. And I think that Tammy Wilson, who's our contract manager overseeing the project on behalf of General Services, or Wayne Jensen can describe what those delays entailed, which in turn created the extra time for our general contractor's extra cost.
And Mr. Chairman, maybe I can kind of cut to the chase. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know, was it at the fault of the state that the delay that happened, or was it the fault of the general contractor that it happened?
Through the chair, correct me if I'm wrong, Wayne or Cammy, but I believe it was neither. It was unforeseen
and
conditions.
And who's speaking?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tansy with the State of Alaska General Services.
Please always introduce yourselves because we're on teleconference.
Yes, sir. Because when we do remodels, there's always conditions that we don't know, as you would in a new construction project, and that happened with this project. We normally built in a contingency factor to address unforeseen conditions. In this case, we did not build in any type of contingency factor, and when we've come back to the council for increases in costs, it's for those unforeseen conditions. Specific to this one, again, I will let Cammy Wilson or Wayne Jensen address what some of these unforeseen conditions are that created the extra cost.
Hi, this is Cammy Wilson with General Services speaking. What Tansy is referring to as unforeseen is basically when they opened up the ceiling to start the abatement process, once they got look inside the actual ductwork that was there, they found overspray, fireproofing overspray, which was ACM, basically it's hot asbestos, inside the ductwork, and that was definitely an unforeseen circumstance. So they basically had to get approval to remove all that ductwork in the ceiling, and that was about a five-week delay to there was a couple weeks delay to get that approval to go ahead with that cost, to remove that ductwork, and then to reinstall all brand new ductwork. And that was, like I said, about 5 weeks of additional air monitoring costs, and it was completely unforeseen.
Through the chair, this is Tan Stevens. The ductwork that Cam is referring to is the hard ductwork that was the original building ductwork, and when the original contractor installed the ductwork and then applied the fireproofing spray, we could not see those conditions inside the ductwork until we were up in the ceiling and started doing the demolition and further detailed inspections.
Okay, well, to the question raised by Representative Chenault that I don't believe has been answered yet, what I'm hearing you say is you did not provide in this particular contract any contingency component for such circumstances that are certainly expected to occur in a construction process, and you're saying that so that the there was no cushion in the contract to accommodate such things, and it was your intent when you issued the contract that they would be coming back to the state if they encountered such things for an additional appropriation?
Through the chair, this is Tansy Mintz. That is correct. In the project budget that we are managing, that would include the Jensen Yorber lot, our professional consultants, and the general contractor, we did not. We provided you the direct costs that were bid on the project and did not include any contingency factor, and instead have provided the cost as we, the known cost versus an inflated cost each time a unforeseen condition comes up.
Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, I could go on for hours, I bet you, on just this one silly subject. I apologize to the other members for bringing it up. I'm done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, and I would note that we've been joined by Senator McGuire. Is that is that Representative Wilson?
Yes, it is.
While you're there, we've also have Senator Huggins, Senator Stevens, and Representative Pruitt here in CSG West, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so noted. Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Could someone explain to me the necessity of the dimming control?
Through the chair, this is Tan Siemens. It's not a necessity, it's an elective.
And what does it actually do?
It allows the occupant, this is Tan Siemens, it allows the occupants to provide the ability to dim the lights in certain areas of the room throughout the day when you're occupying the space versus having them on at 100% full time.
So aren't there light switches that could be turned off? Or is it all on? If you're not using part of a room, the light should be off, not just dimmed.
Through the chair, we have the ability to put motion sensors in the suite that would turn the lights off if there's no movement in the suite, and or would be on the building automated lighting system where they would come on and off at certain time periods of the day, or in this case, to provide you the added flexibility to provide the dimming. I believe that this request is not a contractual request that we had asked for. I believe it came through the legislative audit, but I will let Pam Barney or Chris speak to that.
Hi, for the record, this is Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. Hi. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. This was actually not a request from our agency. It was brought up, I believe, from the contractor side of things. But as I understand it, this is a standard component that gets added when this is installed. And what it does is it automatically adjusts for the level of natural light that's in the building. This is a new type of lighting system, so it's not overwhelming for your eyes if it's bright outside or if it's not bright outside. It automatically adjusts, so the level of light automatically fits the circumstances of the day, which I would assume would make it a much better work environment.
Through the chair, this is Tansy Mintz, General Services. Wayne, can you provide further information on the type of lighting that's different from what we're installing at Ledge Audit compared to the rest of the building and why the dimming is a requirement?
Yes, through the chair, this is Wayne Jensen. The lighting that's being installed is LED lighting, so it's a newer type of lighting. The opportunity for the dimming is both a comfort level because it only provides the natural light or provides the artificial light to make up the difference between the natural light and the artificial light. It's also an energy savings opportunity because we're not using light when it's not needed. So, but it's LED lighting, which allows for dimming. A lot of the fluorescent lighting that's typical in office buildings cannot be dimmed without special equipment. And so it's fluorescent lighting typically is either on or off at 100% unless it's switched in different forms. But with LED lighting, it allows the opportunity to dim the lighting to the appropriate level of the space. So it's an energy saving as well as a comfort level for the employees.
Through the chair, this is Tan Cement. It's not a requirement for Ledge Audit to have LED lightings. We can install the standard building fixtures, which are the fluorescent lights.
Didn't we already go through, though? This is Rep. Hawker speaking. Didn't we go through a request previously for a change order to install the LED lighting?
Through the chair, yes, yes, you did, which is the added requirement now to have the dimming.
Okay, I appreciate the explanation. However, we all require different levels of lighting. In my office alone, I require very, very bright lights because of my eyes, but my staff would rather have it dim. So no matter what you do, you're going to have individuals that aren't happy with it. So I can see it maybe for saving money, but I can't see it. There's too many differences in what people want to use it for comfort level for people.
Through the chair, this is Tansy Mintz, General Services. Wayne, is it an option to not do the dimming?
This is Wayne Jensen through the chair. I would have to check the number on that. I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
Wayne, do you have a response to that?
This is Wayne Jensen. I'm not able to answer that because I'd have to consult with our electrical engineer.
Okay. Senator Michiki from Anchorage here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lighting technology has changed dramatically from what we're used to in a typical office setting. Dimming controls are sort of atypical these days for LED, but for the thousands of dollars we'll be saving on LED technology versus incandescent or even fluorescent, if you look at the cost, Representative Wilson, in the long term, it'll be a fairly significant savings. So I don't think what we're talking about is you envisioning an office that is going to be dimming up and down as someone walks in the room by order. It's just the office can use the amount of energy they need to use to light adequately.
And I apologize. I wasn't at the meeting where they asked for the change order for the LED light. So.
And it's my understanding, and please someone correct me if I'm wrong, but that as part of that that this, again, alleges to be, when we passed that approval of the LED lighting and accepted it on its merits for the cost savings and the flexibility that it offered, this should have been part of that. It's an integral part of that package, but for whatever reason was not included. And we're talking $2,916 here.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
I'm getting no answer. Okay. Consider that non-responsive. Senator Michiki, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't like change orders at all, and I really don't like spending money that wasn't planned. But then there's the reality of projects. And had any of these charges been for someone underestimating the cost of sheetrock, something they should have known from the beginning, then I would have a different thought process. But unfortunately, this is the reality of projects and reality of project economics. And And I'd like to move on and support this if the body's ready with the motion.
Do we have further comments and concerns?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Osterman.
Representative Osterman, sir.
Good morning, everybody. While I don't vote because I'm an alternate on this, I do have concerns. And again, we're back to having basically open-ended contracts where anybody can come in at any point in time and ask for a request because we've not tied these contracts down. When I read the sheet that was sent out on the memorandum, and it talks about increases of $33,000 for the electrical stuff, final design led to an increase in costs. The increase was generally the result of running the electrical from the ceiling rather than the floor. So a determination was made by somebody that they would prefer to run it from the ceiling rather than the floor, even though it was going to cost $33,000 more, and come back to the legislature and just take, you know, get the money from the legislature because we have an open-ended contract. Same thing, basically, as far as the asbestos abatement is. As long as we have an open-ended contract all the time, the costs are going to increase. They're going to be out of hand, similar to some of the other work that we've done. Just a comment, it frustrates me, I guess, that we continue to have these open-ended contracts.
Well, we do have the option of tabling this and looking, basically having General Services and Ledge Affairs do a better job of convincing us that it's appropriate. That is an option if the committee would choose to go that way. Further comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Chenault.
It's Representative Chenault, just for the record. Mr. Chairman, no, I think we need to move forward. I don't know how we better do it, but if the numbers that I was just told are correct, we've got about $1.5 million or $1.4 million tied up in this project.
Representative Chenault, in response to you, as I've got it, the total contract, including this amendment, is now $1,492,000 and change.
Well, I should have known that you don't know how many cents it is. I should have known that.
$1,492,618.67.
All right, I'm $8,000 whatever and 16 cents over. But just running the numbers, it looks like that. This remodel so far has cost us about $267.857143 per square foot on the remodel. So I guess that's a little better than building new, so I guess we're okay. But, I'm like others, I'm frustrated at the continual add-on things that aren't thought of, contingencies that weren't planned for. We know we have that building. That's not the first time that we've been into that building. It's not the first time we've been into the duct system in that building. So we should know what we have whenever we start this project. And I guess I'm going to vote for this change order, but I'm just frustrated at the way we continue to do business at the state because we as the legislature apparently have an open-ended checkbook that people like us to write checks from. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Speaker Chenault. Further comments or questions? Hearing seen none, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve change order number 3 in the amount of $83,856 for costs for electrical engineering, lighting dimming controls, and asbestos air monitoring on the Legislative Audit State Office State Remodel Project, RSA, the Department of Administration from existing legislative funds authorized by the Council Chair.
The question before the committee is the approval of change order number 3 in the amount of $83,856. Since we are on teleconference, Ms. Lucky will call the roll.
Senator Huggins.
No.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Egan. Senator McGuire.
Yes.
Senator Meyer. Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg. Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz. Representative Wilson.
No.
Vice Chairman Chickie.
Yes.
Chairman Hawker.
Oh, yeah.
Also reluctantly, yes.
Eight yeas, two nays.
So on a vote of eight yeas and two nays, change order number three is approved. From the chair to all the folks online at LAA, this is my first time ever chairing this committee, and I have watched repeatedly these problems with legislative construction projects, and it is a problem. I don't know quite what we're going to do about it, but we need to change how we're doing things. I'm putting this specifically on the record. We need to find a way to improve the quality of our management, or we need to start changing the people that are in charge of it. So please take that very seriously. So with that, is there any other business to be brought before the committee?
I just have a comment, Mr.
Senator Machickie.
I just as a member of this committee, I'd sort of new to this, but, you know, looking at this single piece of paper, this doesn't look like an unusual change order, but I'm hearing a sense of frustration. So I'd like to see some of the change orders, do a little research with our staff here and see if there's a sort of trend of a problem of not evaluating projects adequately and see if perhaps we can help with some guidance.
Should we point Senator Machickie to the Legislative Finance Building?
That would be
a good place to start, Mr. Chairman.
I would ask that Leg Affairs provide Senator Machickie a comprehensive analysis and history of the requests and change orders on the Legislative Finance Building, the little church across the street from the Capitol. Can I get an affirmative response on that?
She said no problem. I'm translating.
I have nothing on the record in response to my question.
Just say yes.
Mr. Chairman, I have a complete colorful spreadsheet that I would be glad to provide to Senator Machickie and change orders.
I know who you are, but would you put your name on the record?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Pam Varney with Legislative Affairs.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Ms. Varney, and I do appreciate the support of Senator Huggins and Speaker Chenault back there. I could tell you're supportive of this project.
Thank you very kindly. Further comments and questions?
That's funny, please.
Hearing seen none, the committee meeting is adjourned at 8:02 in the morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very.